Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And Pickett takes the knee, and that is your ball game. Wow, what a performance by the Steelers defense, beleaguered in the second half because the Falcons running game lit up like a Christmas tree. But in the end, the Steelers made the critical play. That's the end of the game. The Steelers win number 5, and now they get ready for the Ravens. Final score, Pittsburgh 19, Atlanta 16.
Two in a row. You gotta be kidding me. You wanna think how good, how sweet it is when you rack up two in a row. Listening to Billy just kind of, you know, put it out there. You know, Max, I got to tell you something. It was just to go into December and not stack wins, and the last time that happened, I was playing, tells you what a drought this has been, my friend.
Oh, who are you telling off? It was something that, you know, as the game's unfolding, you know, we had yesterday. Remember, we were ecstatic, right?
Yes.
The Steelers were in control. They were putting points on the board. I'm going to use the word points lightly. But what the problem was, right, was that it was not in the end zone as
right.
much. It was through the uprights. And that was where in the second half looked like it was going to bite us, right?
Right.
Because we had not done enough to affect that scoreboard. And when you think of scoring 20-plus points the last 3 weeks in a row, that came to a halt. But I loved the intestinal fortitude of this squad, right? I loved the guts that they displayed because that was a grinded-out type of game. That was a very physical type of game. Early on, the Steelers win the physicality battle. And then later on, Atlanta started to stiffen and started to bow their neck back and started to punch back at us. And luckily, it was not enough for them to overcome us. But at the same time, I love the grit. I love the determination. But there definitely has to be an emphasis, especially this week, of capping those drives off with a tutty instead of the field goal. Hey, I appreciate Matthew Wright. Listen, you've got the 40s nailed. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I would rather you kick those as extra points than as must-have three-point tries.
You know, they actually tied an NFL record, from what I understand, with the most 45-plus yard field goals. I think there was like 5 of them or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like tying a record. So that's great. We love it. All good stuff, because also the Atlanta guy, he joined in on that one too. But the fact of the matter is, you look at this, and it's just as you talked about, when you settle for a 3, you are leaving points on the field, and you know it. And the opposition knows it. Even when you nail a 3, the other side is going, all right, good. All right, why? Because you know. They know you left points on the field, and that can always come back to get you. It's like an extra point, right? When you miss those dead gum stupid extra points, what happens? It always feels like you're sitting on the edge, and somebody can come back and kick you in the keister because you left points on the field. And it's the same way when you go field goals, because you know if you'd been able to kind of bear down a little bit or just make a play or two more, You're going to end up in the end zone. And so that is something that's a little discomforting, I should say. But at the same time, there's so much good. And on this good, the bad, and the ugly, we're also going to add an extra chapter, Max, because we're going to go the awesome. Because there's a couple of things that were awesome. But, you know, as far as good, hey, it's a win. They stacked the drives, and that is good. I'm sorry, stacked the wins.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, exactly. Stack a win, and you consistently score every time you had the ball for the first half and about 5 minutes of the game, I guess.
Somewhere around there.
7 minutes.
Let's
seven
not get
minutes.
Into Anyways, who had how much time with who.
Exactly. 2.5 quarters worth of great, consistent football where you scored every drive. How about that?
I like
there
it.
There we go.
That works.
There we go. So you know, it was great to see that consistency. But like you said, you know, there's just those fine minute details. So I love the fact that they played. I love the fact that the defense, especially in that first half, knew it was going to be a tough challenge with Marcus Mariota, which is funny that they flipped the switch on us early and was passing. Remember?
Right.
Yeah, they were like, well, they know we're going to run, so let's do the opposite. It did not work. Did not work.
You sound like a villain in some B-rated movie.
Exactly. It's not Die Hard, though. Which is also not a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie, Wolf.
You don't think it's a Christmas movie? Come on.
Bruce I know
Willis. You know.
Yeah, Bruce Willis finally admitted to it. But remember, he used to say for the longest time, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Right.
It's like, well, why'd you do it around Christmas then? Why is that the underlying theme? But, yeah. But, no, it was something that I was ecstatic to see. Like, I was excited. You know, as we're talking, you know, during the game, it was great to see the offense be physical. And Najee, talk about good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That might be borderline awesome.
You know what? I would agree with you there. Go ahead.
Yeah, because that stiff arm he put on Richie Grant.
He dunked him. He absolutely dunked
him. Oh, man. That was like me trying to get rid of a bag of potato chips I wasn't supposed to eat in a trash can. You shove it to the bottom, you know. You just,
discovered.
Cover it up with something else. Nope, nothing to see here. Just trash. Just trash. Don't worry about this empty bag of Doritos. But, yeah. But, I mean, that was just that running. It was like,
oh,
that's the first rounder we drafted, right?
Absolutely.
That's the guy we've been waiting to see all season.
Max, let me throw this at you. I think we got a new rock band in the Steel City. It's called Najee and the Marauders. What do you think? Huh? I mean, just watching that offensive line come off the ball, watching Najee, like you said, he didn't dunk on Richie Grant. He dunked Richie Grant. I mean, that was like amazing.
Yeah, it was, and it was ferocious. It had malintent.
Yes, it did.
A lot of anger was in that. It was in that palm that he put to Richie Grant's face mask as he tried to trash compact his face. You know what I'm saying? Like it was absolutely a thing of beauty. And as an offensive line, how can you not get excited? Right,
oh, Max. That harkens back to the days of yore. Back with Franco, back with the bus. You know what I mean? And by the way, the bus was down there too.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, the bus stopped at Mercedes-Benz Stadium one last time, baby.
Yes, it did.
It was great. Yeah, but bus was there. I saw Mike Logan, Trey Essex. You know, a bunch of guys were there. I think Jeff Reed was also at the game.
Cordell Stewart was out. Yep, checked Cordell. In the day before, and he was at the game, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, so Steelers – and listen, Steelers Nation was at the game.
Oh,
that was the other thing. It was a home game in Atlanta. It was amazing. When Freiermuth had that long play, I mean, the place erupted in a big moo. Yes. I was like, I had to take my earphone off of my ear. I'm like, I didn't hear that. It's like, no, it is that loud. No. This is a home game. The Atlanta Falcons are visiting the Steelers, and apparently – one of the many Steeler, you know, secondary slash rental property homes around this greater country. We have a bunch of rental property. We have a bunch of Airbnbs that we loan to other teams, right?
Yes, exactly. So.
Atlanta was one of them. Jacksonville was another one. The LA Chargers, that's our Malibu beach home. You know what I'm saying? You know, yes. Everybody's got to have a Malibu beach home. Also, the Cardinals, right? You want a little desert change, a little rustic living. State Farm Stadium is also home of the Steelers. I mean, we literally have stadiums that we can name where we literally take over the stadium. Like people, they have to beg on the news for you not to sell the tickets to Steelers fans, because Steelers fans are going to converge. But they don't realize that literally people become season ticket holders because they know the Steelers are eventually coming there. Like that's – so you're welcome, NFL stadiums that are struggling. we help provide the boost. And it was just – it was fantastic. I mean, and then when I was walking to get my lift to go to the airport, I mean, the amount of Steelers – you couldn't find a Falcons fan.
Yes.
I mean, they were very sparsely strewn amongst the black and yellow, you know. And it was something that was awesome to see. I mean, black and gold, Steeler Nation. I even saw a biker club, a Steelers biker club that was there at the game. It was pretty awesome.
You know what's pretty funny? For whatever reason, you just stimulated a thought in my head, a memory. I remember Matt Millen, you know, he played at Penn State, and Matt and I did battle many times in both college and in the pros. He was with the Raiders. And Matt was telling me one time after the game, when he goes out to the Oakland Raiders, right? He comes out after a game, and there's this group of Hell's Angels out there in the parking lot. I guess they went to the game, the Raiders fans. He comes out, and they start, like, they're, like, cheering, going, "Yay, Matt!" Like, he goes, "I just put my head down, walked faster." It was really funny the way he said it. Was just, they were just crazy-looking guys, you know? He said it was just like, just going to keep moving here. But, you know, regardless, the point is, I love the fact that there are so many Steelers fans there. As we were talking about yesterday, if there wasn't for the Steelers fans, that place would have been almost empty. I mean, you know, that's a huge, beautiful complex. And by the way, did they not have the best pregame meal that we've had in any stadium yet?
It was an absolute spread. I see why, you know, because I had heard from other press, you know, throughout the last, you know, this past season, mm-hmm. and even on my college crew with ESPN, they're like, "Man, have you been to Mercedes?" I'm like, "No, we're going there in December, guys." Like, man, the press, because every time, you know, you sit down at press box pregame meal, they're always talking about, you know, you're always ranking, right? You know, that's the one thing we do in the press, right?
Right.
Surprise, surprise. We rank him, and we also postulate on what transpires in the meal room. Because, right, a happy mob is a very litigious mob. Like, right, we're going to write up, either give out demerits or give kudos to the press box food. And we're always ranking it. When they always said, "Man, you just wait till you go to Mercedes-Benz. Just wait till you go to the Falcons. Just wait till you have a game down there in Atlanta." And I have to say, they were right. They were right, Wolf.
It was terrific, man.
It was. There was this beautiful salad bar. There was.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I know. You're that guy that, you know, like when you go in the grocery store, you're supposed to scan the perimeter. You know, in the middle has all the processed stuff, but your healthier food options are on the outside. Well, it's flipped inverse here at the press box. All the bad and delicious stuff is on the outside. The good stuff was in the middle. So you were just simply going off of grocery store rules.
I just got confused.
So they had hand cut like egg salad sandwiches that was already pre-cut in halves on diagonals. I mean, it was. Then they had what? They had pork chops.
Oh man!
Mac and cheese, cabbage, hot dogs,
flank
popcorn.
Steak. Oh yeah.
Carved flank steak.
Yes.
And then a hanging pretzel bar right next to it, or you could have pretzel bits and fondue.
And fondue,
you know, right next to it. It's a fancy way of saying it's really nacho cheese sauce. It's all good. It's the orange stuff.
Fondue is a translated word for nacho cheese, huh?
Yeah, nacho cheese sauce. Like, it's not even It's not. It's a cheese product, right? It's not even like full on cheese.
In the event of a nuclear disaster, that food will the nacho cheese will last forever. Never worry.
Will not absorb any nuclear radiation, but will might give it off. I don't know. And then there was this cookie and ice cream bar that was in there. I mean, it was
those chocolate chip. Oh my heavens, they're unbelievable! And the red velvet ones. Ooh.
The red velvet one was staring at me the whole time.
I know. It just caused.
It was staring at me. I was like, you mean cookie, you. I like you, but I don't like you. It was one of the best friends. What was that halftime? Since obviously I am a grunt and I'm on the field.
Much the same.
Moments.
Yes, it was much the same, wow. My friend. Yes.
Oh, even
and
better.
And then burritos too. Oh, I love burritos. Are you kidding? Who doesn't love a good burrito?
Oh, good burrito. And I forgot, they also had a standard nacho cheese bar, or nacho bar, right? Where you put the chili and the cheese. I forgot about that part because I, being the upstanding human being that I am, I resisted myself because I also did not know where bathrooms were and I did not want to have an unfortunate issue.
Isn't that brutal on the sidelines when you don't know where the bathrooms are off the field?
Yeah.
Folks don't understand. Man. You're in the middle of action. You're down on the sidelines. You can't get upstairs. You can't get – but there, you got to know where the off-the-field restroom is because if you have one of those moments, man, you got to find it.
Yeah, you got to find it quick, fast, and in a hurry. And obviously, you know, Missy wasn't with us yesterday because of the way the stadium was set up with frequencies. So
and
there was
boy,
not
didn't
anybody.
We miss her for crying
we
out loud,
her.
Man. She keeps everybody in line.
I know. She is the radio broadcast mom of the group.
There
I mean,
you go.
She keeps all the boys in line, and so we miss Missy. So it was like even more so for me, like I can't leave the sideline. Like there's nobody to call anything on the sideline. So it's not like you can say, hey, let me rush and try and find it. And that's a humongous stadium too, Wolf.
It was.
I mean, I had over 12,000 steps yesterday.
Yeah,
just from walking.
I had over 10, and that was just getting to and from the press box, basically.
Yeah, the press box to the field, that is a walk every single. And I did it like, what, four times?
Oh, easy.
So I was sitting there, I was like, I did get really good at my power walking step. I was really good on my heel toes and efficient. And I remember, well, you also remember yesterday, and Wes put it on his Instagram stories. I was on the field. It was so far. We had the pregame hit in the trenches, and I'll never forget. Dan's like, hey Max, we have the show in 5 minutes. I'm like, I have full on cleats on because I had cleats.
You're down on the sidelines on the field, and we're up there watching you. You're like strutting around. You got your cleats. Oh, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, and I had to walk all the way back to the press. But by the way, there is no carpet from once you step off that field, because I consider the field an indoor turf carpet,
right?
Till I got to the press corridor. And to give you perspective, the press corridor is about 3/4 mile from the field, with all the elevators and escalators and stairs and walkways. So I'm walking in these cleats on like tile. Now,
explain what your cleats were, so everybody understands what we're doing.
Okay, so the NFL every year does a My Cause, My Cleats. That's why you saw the guys maybe yesterday if you were watching the game or you checked social media. Guys have custom colored and custom painted cleats to represent different charitable organizations that they support. And so the NFL does a really good job of highlighting them. So they allow them to get these custom cleats made. And then either the NFL will auction them off and send the proceeds to said 501c3, or you can donate them and have them auction them off. So I chose Fiesta Bowl Charities, being that I'm out here and I do a lot of work with the Fiesta Bowl. So I chose them as my designated My Cause, My Cleats representative this year.
Beautiful.
And so I had these awesome cleats on. But the problem was you got a segment in 5 minutes. You know how far you got to walk.
Right.
And I didn't have time to put my sneakers back on.
So you were clickety-clack as you went through the hall and on the way to the press box, right?
Clickety Clacks meets the Ice Capades, or putting a polar bear on roller, bear on ice skates. It was, I'm walking all gingerly. They're looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, oh my God, your shoes look awesome. I'm like, yeah, but they're slippery. Just don't stop my motion. Don't step in front of me. And then there was like a big spill, like a lot of water had dumped like right in between the service corridor to where you get to like the elevators, which is like polished concrete meets tile. And I was like, oh God, this is going to be bad. I was like, don't fall, Max. Do not fall. You're like tippy toe. But it was really awesome to do that. And, you know, I will go and actually deliver the cleats later this week to the Fiesta Bowl offices. But, you know, it was just, I mean, it was a great day yesterday, but there was just a lot of fun and a lot of challenges that went on with that. Getting to and fro. So we miss Missy. And
yes,
we also,
indeed.
Yeah, we also know that, you know, you definitely got to have, you know, your broadcast partner slash mom be present in the place. I know she was enjoying flambé or Bananas Foster's. I saw in her IG story while we were doing the game. So at least she was had some comfort with her. You know,
well,
that's one thing. At least she had some comfort.
Well, I'll say this: we have now gone through the trials and tribulations of Max Starks on My Cause, My Cleats, Sunday.
I just wish we had video of our producer Dan in the press box in the broadcast booth, like stressing about Max making it up in time for his radio.
I see him. He's got the binox on you, Max. He's going, I see
Poor
him.
Guy's
I
like, think Max he's going to make Max it. Is still down on the sideline and his hits in 6 minutes. Max is still down on the sideline and his hits in 5 minutes.
But mind you, at any point, he could have called me with a 10-minute warning, knowing that if you have binoculars on me, you know that I am still wearing said cleats. Give a brother a heads up. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you were wearing a big yellow man. Shirt, too, so you were easy to find down there.
Not like I was going to get lost in a sea of black and red. It's not like I wore a black shirt that day.
He looked like Big Bird. He had a big yellow shirt on. That was, I'm telling you what, you could pick you out. And from the whole, just sitting up in that press box, which was really high, we could see you. You got that beaming yellow shirt on. Unbelievable. Listen,
all I have to say is binoculars weren't necessary to find me yesterday.
Okay? That's very true.
It was not necessary to use binoculars. The binoculars are only for looking up close for detail. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, okay, well, what is the exact combination with that yellow shirt that I was wearing? So I made myself stick out, at least, you know?
You did.
But, man, I was like, you know, Dan, you could have called me 10 minutes before. You knew when the hit was. It's not like the studio hit you like, hey, Max, got to get on in a couple minutes. No, you knew that it was 11:45.
The problem, Max, is he was too busy watching that World Cup in the broadcast booth.
I was about to say he was too busy watching Poland-France yesterday.
Had him hooked.
He had him hooked. He's yelling, breaking protocol during Dale's show and everything, you know? Decorum.
Goal!
Yeah, exactly.
All right, why don't we take a break?
Yeah, we're taking a break. We're putting our vuvuzelas away, guys, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back here in the locker room here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pickett empty set, first and 15. He throws the pass down the middle. What a catch! And that is Connor Hayward reeling that pass in for a 17-yard touchdown, the first of his career.
It was everything. It was really cool. The ball was in the air. My heart kind of dropped like, oh, it's coming to me. But just glad I made the play. Glad everybody, all the other 10 guys on on that play did their job. And honestly, you know, we drive the ball up and down the field. We just got to get better in the red zone.
You know, the amazing thing about that, and Wes, you got to back me up on this because you pointed it out to me. You showed me. Somebody posted the first touchdown of his dad, Craig Ironhead Hayward, and it was a very almost the same route, except for the fact that that Connor was on the line of scrimmage, and Ironhead came from the backfield but ran a seam route and was in the end zone. It was unbelievable. So am I right, Wes? Was that correct?
Yes, you are. You're absolutely correct. I forget who posted it on Twitter, but you and I saw it, and I was showing it to you. But yeah, I mean, you compare Connor Hayward's, you know, first NFL touchdown to Craig Hayward's. I mean, like you said, other than where they were lined up, I mean, they're very identical. Up the seam to the right, you know, on the right side hash, yeah. Getting behind the defense, ball dropped in nicely by the quarterback. It's, you know, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, and I think this is one of those moments.
No doubt about it, Max. You got to Google that or whatever you got to do to, like, kind of find that thing.
I'll send it to you, Max.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you, Wes. See, that's what you do. You can actually send.
Producing
or we would like
it.
To call share. You can share said clip now, Wolf. I know that.
I don't know how that works, man. Are you kidding? I couldn't even find the original clip. Wes had to, like, type it up and put it on the screen for me.
Listen, it's different than dinner time rules, right? Where you got, you know, whereas you right. fend for yourself to find your forageables. No, you can share in these occasions. Sharing is caring, and I appreciate that, Wes.
Sharing is caring. I got to remember that one.
Yeah, but, you know, but one of the things that was a beautiful moment, right, and in the midst of something that we don't necessarily consider a sport of football something beautiful, the moment was after that touchdown, like the tight ends came just rushing on the field. I saw Freiermuth and Gentry, and they just went and they gave Connor the biggest hug in the end zone. Of course, right. They were out there because they knew that they had – extra point responsibilities, but they ran and celebrated. And then, of course, Cam's out there for the extra point. And Cam came to the sidelines and he was teared up. He was verklempt. You know what I'm saying?
Verklempt, yes.
Yeah, he was very verklempt, you know. And I was sitting there watching him, and he's talking to Carl Dunbar, and he just couldn't wipe his eyes. Everybody came over. Yeah. Even the referee came and patted him on the shoulder.
You know, it's
like
just
that,
an awesome
that was
thing.
A tender moment.
Yeah, it was. It was. And it's okay to have those moments. When you play with passion, when you play with emotion, when you play a game such as this, and those things, you know, that they mean something to you. You know, and watching your younger brother. I remember watching my younger brother play as I was playing. I was on the opposite sideline. I don't know what it's like to have it together as brothers, but you know, on one side, other than Tunch and I for all the time together that we had, that definitely was brotherhood, no question. But the same thing is, you know, and watching that unfold, man, I love that sort of stuff because it means something. And for Connor to, you know, pull that touchdown in, it was huge to Cam, who both Connor and Cam went to visit their father's grave before the game. And I just thought that it's something, you know, because you remember and you respond as such because it's something that's, in particular, it means something to you so big.
Well, and so both Connor and Cam both grew up in nearby Duluth, Georgia. Duluth, about 25 miles-ish, 30 miles from downtown Atlanta where the stadium is. And Duluth's kind of like northeast of the city. And so, I mean, it was homecoming yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a special time. And like you said, when you go to your father's grave that day, you saw Cam wearing his jersey in the post-game interview.
Yes, yep.
It was beautiful. And trust me, as the son of a former NFL player as well.
Yes.
It hits different. It hits different, you know, because, you know, for Cam and for Connor, their dad never got to see them accomplish these feats. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's, you know, I could say that I'm spoiled and blessed that, you know, I had my father there. You know, he came to many, many Bengals Steelers games.
Mm-hmm.
And I would wear his jersey to the games. He would wear my jersey to the games. It's something special. And for them to have shared that moment in this venue, especially a team that you don't play that often. You play them every 4 years. And it would take 8 years to get them down in Atlanta.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just it was a special moment. I was really I was touched. And then as I look back on it, because I was going to get Trey Essex. I was going to get Trey afterwards. I was going to see him. He came to the family area. And I saw Cam walking by. So I came by. Cam put my arm around him. I said, hey.
Yeah.
I said, how special was that to see your little bro score? He's like, man. He's like, I was a punk. I was messed up for the next series. He's like, man, I'm not soft. I'm like, hey, but I said once again, but that's the passion of this game. That's the beauty of this game. The fact that you can take a moment, right, and emote in that type of manner is special. It's special. And the fact that you lasted this long, that you can call your baby brother a teammate. Hey man, that's a cool. He's like, yeah, you're right, Max. You're right.
That's a blessing.
So it was a tremendous blessing, and you know, kudos to Captain Cam. Just continues to build on, you know, the body of the legacy that is Cam Hayward.
Amen
right?
to that.
As he continues the legacy of the Hayward family, it was a pretty special moment. So I'm glad we got to highlight that during this show.
You know, the beauty of it was, and it's so amazing to see the similarity in the route run by both Ironhead and by Connor. It was just amazing. But just prior to that, too, in that same series, what about the Muth going 57 yards, kicking out of a tackle, dragging away from people? It was sensational. I mean, the tight ends, when you think about it, the tight ends, I think they accounted for like nearly 140 yards of Kenny Pickett's 197 yards. That's tremendous work by the tight ends as a group. Would you not say so?
It was. I mean, well, and here's the thing, Wolf. We're in pregame meal, right, before we're going to the stadium. And you told Pat, hey, Pat, you should have a big game. He's like, oh, I expect it, right?
Yep.
I mean.
We both just, did. We knew what was waiting there. You knew it, right?
Yeah, exactly. We spoke it into fruition, Wolf. I mean, so, you know, it feels like at least 20 of those yards was ours, you know,
well,
yesterday.
No doubt
about it. I know
it
won't go in the stat sheet, but you and I both know. I mean, we scored first downs each. You know what I'm saying? We got 10 yards worth a piece just by saying it. We de facto. It's like it'll be like all of our yards, but we'll let them have it. You know what I'm saying? Like we'll just add it to their bank.
Well, it's like we were talking about as we were breaking bread over a bacon sandwich each of us, because nothing goes better with bread than bacon. Nothing goes better with anything. Than bacon does. Bacon makes everything better.
Yes. Yeah, bacon makes everything better. I mean, it is the most flexible of the protein products out there in nature.
Unless you get extra crispy.
Yeah, yeah. you know what I'm saying. I mean, because you can go thick cut, you can go thin cut, you can go center cut, applewood smoked peppered. I mean, you know, now everybody's putting like a little maple and cayenne and calling it luxury bacon.
Ooh.
It is. You got pork belly. I mean, just depending on where you – but it's good for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and especially random strips for snacks. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you're not kidding.
It goes good. Like people will do steak and eggs, you know what I'm saying, for breakfast. But we all know it's more like a dinner type of deal.
Yes.
You know, it is a main – end of the night comfort style food. Bacon is just bacon, like it's its own category, you know. So like even beef jerky, you would eat beef jerky for breakfast, but it's a great snack on the go. Bacon, you could have it at any point. It's handheld. It's on a plate. I mean, you could put it in a sandwich, hot dog bun, whatever. It's bacon. You gotta just let it go, right? It's just If bacon ends up on my steak, I'm not upset. I'm actually like, you know what? That's a thoughtful individual. Whoever put this bacon
on
this steak knows me. They see me for the first time, and they know what my intentions are.
You know what's amazing, Max? I go back to, And just because it's you and me and nobody else, I'll admit to this. In 1981, I competed in the World's Strongest Man. All right, so the last month, the last couple weeks, no, I was almost a month, yeah. Every day, I ate a dozen eggs and a pound of bacon, trying to build my weight up. They didn't have great, you know, protein powders back then and stuff like that. You know, I liked it by just eating an immense amount of food. So I was trying to bulk up. Yeah. Hit, you know, I only got up to 284, but that was, like, big enough. Now I can do that without bulking up.
Exactly. You are in a state of perpetual bulk. You know what I'm saying?
So. But I was eating. Yes, I am in a state. That's exactly it. But I eat that bacon every day, baby. I'll tell you what. I love that. That was more fun prepping for that contest than the actual contest because I was eating bacon every day.
Yeah. Because you can't eat bacon while you're competing. You know
no,
what I'm saying?
You can't
do it. It's the only downfall of a World's Strongest Man competition. I can't eat bacon while I'm towing an airplane. So,
no, it was a semi, but same thing.
Okay. Gotcha. Same difficulty. Same difficulty.
Degree of difficulty.
Different prop. But just think about – but what if you did, though? Imagine you're, like – you're in the middle of, like, this rope pull of the semi, right? You're down in all fours. You're grabbing this rope, and you just scream over – trainer, bacon me! Like, mid-pull.
Sponsored just run out with one, the bacon with, yeah. farmers of America.
Exactly. It is run out, and one crispy strip, and they just kind of, like, extend it out, and you snap off a bite. And like, oh yeah, and then you just start you keep going, right? Oh my god, that, I'm sorry,
we're getting way out.
That was
let's reel it back.
You know
in.
Why? Because of bacon. That's why. I just had this
exactly this so my
completely
friend.
Completely sponsored by bacon. You know what? Let's take a break here.
Yeah, I think we need to refocus.
We need to refocus. You know, Wolf, do not eat a pound of bacon during the break.
There's none there's here, but there's a lot of donuts, let me tell you.
Well, what about the bacon, the maple bacon bar? I mean, that Ooh, was there last yeah. time I was there. That was a maple bacon donut. Yeah. So, Oof. All right. Well, Wolf's going to go forage and try and continue to bulk up for the next segment. We're going to step aside. You're in the locker room, Wolf and Starks on ESPN and SNR Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Man, really excited for the group in the locker room. Two road victories in a row, man, was much needed. Trying to find that rhythm and do what good teams do, which is stack winning performance on top of winning performance. That's the first time we've done it this year. And can't underscore that. If you're going to be somebody to be considered and taken seriously, you got to stack wins. And so hopefully it's a launching pad for us as we move forward.
And indeed, Max, it's all about winning. You know, again, the goal is to win. And, the overall thing, I understand people want to play, well, the draft thing or this and that. No. I mean, because you and I were, as former players, you always have that player's mindset, even when we're talking back and forth here, right? And part of it is the fact that as a player, you know, indeed, it's about winning. And it doesn't matter how miserable the season is, you crave and work for each and every win, regardless of what the playoff opportunities are. You're paid to win. You're a professional. You're paid to win.
You're paid to play the game.
Okay.
That's right. You pay to play the game.
Yes, you're exactly correct, my friend.
Yeah, no. No, I had to get my little Herm Edwards spoof
yes,
there.
Exactly.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, I know the schedule, the record's getting closer to 500, right? There's that little nugget just hanging there in the Temple of Doom. You know what I'm saying? There's that big jewel on the altar. You want to grab it. It's there. It's shiny. It's bright. You're thinking about how much it weighs, so how much you're going to make if I get that nugget. That's what the playoffs are right now.
Yes.
It's the jewel in the temple. Don't touch the jewel. It says don't touch the jewel. You know, but you can't help but want to touch the jewel. And for the Steelers, it's stay focused on the steps in front of you. Don't get enamored with what the finish line looks like and the possibilities of what may be. Oh man, if we go on this run, man, we're going to be in the playoffs. No. Focus on the task at hand. This is your first two burger, right? This is your first double cheeseburger win, right? You stack two pieces of meat on top of each other.
Right.
This is the first one you've done this season. Let's see if you can go for the threefer. Let's see if you can stack three games in a row, because guess who's coming to town this week? It's the Ratbirds.
Yes.
And this is one of two matchups left that you must go up against said Ratbirds. And you can't start looking past that. You can't start thinking about five games from now what your record looks like. You've got to focus on can we get one game better today? Can we go 1-0 this week? Because that's all that matters. Everything else will play itself out. Everything is everything elsewhere. But what you can control is what you need to focus on. And right now, you are a team that is 5-7 with two victories stacked for the first time this season. That's all it is. Everything else is window dressing. The stuff we might even talk about between you and I during our show and our other shows on SNR, we will talk about everything else. But for the Steelers players and the coaches that are in that locker room, that are on the sidelines on game day, that are playing on the field, I need to go 1-0 this week. I can't focus on shoulda, coulda, wouldas, what coulda beens. I can only focus on the journey ahead. Not time yet to look back in reflection.
Exactly so. There's no doubt about it. Now, let's take another look at this, because now we've talked a little bit about the good, but we got some bad in there too. And the one that jumps out at me, they're 1-3 in the red zone. You know, as we talked about, you got to put some sevens on the board. You can't keep consistently. Hey, listen, I got no problems with Matt Wright coming on and just knocking them through. That's great and all. But the fact as we talked about earlier, when you're 1-3 on red zone opportunities for sevens, that can be, it's not going to hurt you maybe against, you know, the Falcons, but it's going to hurt you against the Ravens, or it's going to hurt you against somebody that's got a more prolific offense.
Yeah. I mean, it'll hurt you against the Browns. It will hurt you against even the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yeah, it'll hurt you against anybody else in this league. So you've got to be more efficient. I think that's what it comes down to, the efficiency. If you put up all those yards, you go through all that work. Because another thing, another game, another 30-plus time of possession game.
Yes, that was terrific.
They possessed the ball more than the opponent, and that's usually a recipe for success. But I digress. If Arthur Millett gets flagged for a holding or PI in the end zone.
I didn't
on that
say
second
it.
To,
No.
I said if. I said if. I prefaced it before I went into the statement, Wolf.
I gotcha.
If. Because also, if if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. Anyways. But if it was, in fact, a PI or a holding of any side, that would have given them a new set of downs on the 1 yard line, and we would have been talking about a different type of situation to get going, but it did not. So therefore, no harm, no foul, and we were good in the moment. So I am appreciative of the fact that we had that. But man, that's where touchdowns are greater than field goals. Those 4 points, that 4 point swing makes a difference, Wolf.
Sure does.
And you think about that. Matt Wright hit four from 46 plus.
Yep.
Imagine, I mean, that was the stalling part of it. So that's also in my bed, was we stalled out. Like, we could get ourselves out of a deep hole, no matter where the starting position was.
Right.
Even on another bad that I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more, Steven Sims, the muffing of the punt. Ooh, luckily, it came right back to him. But even with bad field position, we found a way to drive. We found a way to get across the 50. Remember earlier this year, Wolf? We couldn't get across the 50-yard line.
Yes. Yep.
Now that's a thing of the past. I mean, it was absolutely great to see us continually drive. But like you said, it stalled out. It'd get to the high red zone. Or then we get in the red zone and we go backwards.
Yeah.
And that was one of the tough things that moving forward, you got to clean up a little bit. And I know some of the play calling schematics, a little questionable. And I can see the frustrations of some of those, right? I mean, even running trap into a nickel blitz. I was like, of all things, when you're trying to get that play repped and you're trying to get it in there so it gives the team confidence to call it back again, literally the Falcons had the perfect blitz dialed up in that situation and just absolutely blew it up for -4. But, you know, that's something they have to work on. You know, we're in the bad section of this. We're talking about the bad. That's something the Steelers have to prove on. That's considered the bad in the moment, is that you did not capitalize on red zone opportunities. 33% is not what we aim for. You got to be 50% or better. That's on the goals to win category. Now, if you got there four times and you were 2 of 4, different story, right? I'm good with it, but you're 1 of 3, so it's below 50.
Exactly so. And here's the thing about it, too. You go back to the first half, 5 of 8 on third down conversions. That's pretty sensational. That's good stuff. But 1 of 4 yes. in the second half, that's not. That's that's unacceptable. And that's where, you know, as we talk about putting the pieces together in the good and the bad, there's the understanding that in the second half, as Mike Tomlin pointed out, they ran out of gas or something. You know, they just were not performing in the high red zone, low red zone, whatever. Yeah, it's just not getting done. And so that's an area that they got to improve on. But, you know, I remember last year when we couldn't buy a point in the first quarter, you know, in the last couple of weeks. You know, they've been putting up 16, 17 points in the first half or more.
And scoring on first drives.
Yeah.
First possession scores. What is this? What are we talking about? You're acting like this is some good football team, Wolf. I will not have that talk here, scoring on first drives and nonsense. But it is something that, you know, when you look at the progression of this season, that's a huge bright spot, Wolf.
Yep.
Because we see the actual growth and progression before our eyes from a week-to-week basis. And you see good things carrying over and bad things becoming less and less. So it is truly a kudos to the squad. They're growing. I know you have to – just don't look at the record. Focus on the game-by-game progressions. From week 2 to now, because obviously week 1 was an outlier. It was tremendous. It was glorious. But from week 2 to now, how much this team has grown? How much this team has changed? And even when I was interviewing Minka yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
He talked about – everybody getting into shape with playing with each other,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we hadn't had all those pieces together, and then another one got added yesterday and back into the fold, DeMarvin Leal. And so this defense is starting to get the right pieces back. Obviously, we will miss Akello Witherspoon. He was another one that was an original that they won't have for the rest of this year. But, you know, seeing how guys are taking these roles. Levi Wallace had a big game yesterday. A lot of big pass breakups at clutch moments. And, you know, him, Cam Sutton, Arthur Millett, those guys doing the job. KZ as well. But Minka just talked about how good it was to have everybody there and to have the bodies available for them to play together. So I thought that was a huge moment. Wolf, we need to step aside.
Yes, we do. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think? We open the phone lines. This the power hour, right? Come
out. Oh,
we start going absolutely. The good, the bad, the ugly. What do you think?
Let's go with it. What was it 412-919-1316?
You got it. You're on it, buddy.
Woohoo! Look at that. All right, Steelers Nation, we want to hear your voice. Call us on the power hour on the hotline. here in SNR Studios at iHeart. And make sure you give us your good, bad, ugly. We want to hear from you. 412-919-1316. It's in the locker room, Wolf and Starks on SNR and ESPN Radio.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.